yeah.
Hello, everybody. What's up? It's your boy, Robbo, back again. And with me, as always, is Steele Saunders. How you doing, Steele?
Hello, Robert. It is a pleasure to be in your acquaintance on the internet once again.
Thank you. That's what I long to hear most. I hear tell that this is episode 33, and you know what that means?
Well, according to you, it means it's divisible by 11, buddy.
Yep, that's right, which means we pay you.
It's fine. Don't do that. It's divisible by 3, which means it will be offered for free on the iTunes feed, and it will be up for everyone to check out on YouTube. Normally, this is a Patreon exclusive, one of the many. I think we're about to hit 800 episodes on the Patreon. Robbo, all for a mere $3.
Wow. $3 or $3 a month? Because either way, it's a steal.
Well, $3 a month. I'm not trying to, I'm pretty sure it's well known amongst Patreon users that it is a monthly gathering of currency that is distributed to the Patreon supplier.
Yeah. Hey, look, you want to meet a subscriber? You're listening to one right now, because I subscribe to the fine Patreon Steel Wars feed.
Robbo, all the cool pink skulls do.
Yeah, it's true. We all do. We had a meeting and we decided. I'm glad I'm reaching a broader audience today because I brought a little something for the listeners.
Oh, really? I love a little something for the listeners. What
Hold on, let me get it. Just a second, it's in my pocket.
All right. I don't know how you're going to show it with the
skeleton. You can't really see it, but you'll be able to hear it because it's my A game. I brought it just for you.
That's very telling that's your A game.
Well, I mean, look, it's not like I had multiple takes here. You know what I mean? I just had to do this off the cuff. I didn't get to do it twice.
You know? All right, as rehearsed. Hey, so you sort of took a bit of a commentary leave of absence with the Mandalorian. You did your mid-season review, but you didn't want to get in the way of everyone's fun. But we've had our fun now. It's a distant memory. So how did you fare with the return of one Luke J. Skywalker?
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. And I wasn't like the whole episode. I was a little bit hit or miss, but I did like the ending. They did stick the landing, as it were, and I appreciated that. I liked the depiction of Luke because I recognize that, like, when, you know, like, there's some issue, like, some people have issues about it, but I look at it a different way, and maybe that's something we can touch on if you think it would be of interest to the people.
It may well be, but you know, who are you, a pink skeleton, to judge how other people look? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't. I'm. That's true. All right, I stand corrected.
Oh no, I was.
I didn't say anything about the way that he looked. Like, you know, it looked the way it looked. It's fine. But
do you think?
Yeah,
I got a question, because if you're just listening to the podcast, Robbo is just a pink skeleton floating in the abyss. It's as hard as that is to believe. But do you think some boffin would be able to look at your skull and then build skin around it to reveal what you really look like?
I mean, that's exactly what I want to see. That was the whole point of this entire endeavor, is I want to see a skeletal reconstruction of Robbo. I mean, look, if people do the work, you know, then they deserve to see the face.
Do the work.
You know, if people are so devoted, but I prefer to be more like the pink skull, you know what I mean? I want to be the pink floating skull in your life.
You definitely are.
Yeah.
You are to me anyway. Yeah. So go into your thoughts.
About the final episode of the Mando, season two. Yeah, I liked it. I'm not a big fan of the dubstep droids. I don't like the droid troopers who are the only robots in Star Wars who do the robot, which I think is like they're like popping and locking like they're boogaloo shrimp, you know.
What about the battle droids?
They move much more fluidly, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know. The weird thing is that the battle droids are fake. And those super battle droids or whatever they were called. Were they battle droids? Death troopers, were they? Dark troopers.
Dark troopers.
Yeah, sorry. They were actual people in suits.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were doing like a pretty, like I said, they were doing a pretty cool robot thing, but it doesn't, that's not, like, why would these like super advanced droids in Star Wars, right, like move like more unnaturally than C-3PO, who is not designed to punch anything and can barely walk, you know, but like it's weird. And I especially was turned off by the dubstep soundtrack for that. Really not into that. If you think it sounds cool, that's great. But ask yourself that question again in like 15 years, you won't think it sounds cool anymore.
The whole thing about the robots, that's like they have to make it more robotic. Like, well, no, I don't mean have to, but like it's their choice to make them more menacing and robot. Like they're putting that ahead of like, well, C-3PO is like human, so we're going to make him more human. Like, do you know what I mean? There's sort of cinematic sort of tropes that they, like it is Star Wars. It is.
Yeah, but like, you know, I saw a movie a long time ago and not many people have heard of it. It's called The Terminator. And the Terminator moves a lot like a regular human being and is still plenty scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it would have looked pretty bizarre. It's a case by case. Like if Arnold was going down the thing like this the whole time,
Arnold did the literal like pop lock step, like we're just going, I can't even do this. I'm just a skull, but you can imagine if I had a body and you know, just like, imagine, you know, like doing that thing, he would look ridiculous. It's not. It doesn't make any sense. Like it doesn't look good. The thing here, you know, that I'm not the authority on this deal. But we do know an authority, or I mean, you do, and I listen to you talk to this person. You should ask details. Okay. Details would know. Like he would say, like, is there a way that you can communicate in human menace of like a mechanical being without actually doing the robot? And I bet you he has an answer, and I bet you his answer is, yeah, there is.
Well, it's details, though.
Right, but I mean, it's not like they couldn't have flown him over. It only costs as much as a plane ticket and his fee.
The funny thing about those dark troopers, though, is much like yourself, I did not enjoy them. But in retrospect, I now understand why they were there.
Oh, yeah, so you could have like Luke Skywalker just go ham on some troopers. Yeah.
Yeah, like you needed the impossible thing to get past.
Yeah, I'm not against the concept of it. Like, I do, as always, I always question, like, why. Like, it seems like whenever anybody in Star Wars makes, like, droids that are designed to kill, they make all the same mistakes. But in this case, these are at least the most threatening death droids we've seen so far. Although I would point out that IG-11 did a much better job and moved quite fluidly, I might add.
Yeah, but a full evil, like to see, if we ever see IG-88 in action, I reckon it's going to be pretty, pretty harrowing.
I mean, it would just look like what we saw, right? But they're killing good guys. You know what I mean? Like if instead the death troopers are just like, I'm going to keep punching you, even though I could just twist your head off. But instead, I'm going to punch you until you die.
You're going into all these silly, like...
Is it silly, Steel? Yes. Or is it exactly as silly as what we've been presented? Like,
because like the way you look at it, like, oh, why are they punching when you can just rip your head off? Like, that's the whole, like, if you were writing a film, the film would end in like, you know, like A New Hope, when they shoot the escape pod goes off.
Right.
Like, you'd be like, what? Well, you just shoot it anyway. So they shoot it, and then that's.
I mean, I personally wouldn't have had that scene, because it calls into question whether they would, if they know that, you know, they're you just don't have that scene. Like, you show it from a different angle and you move on. don't raise the question if you don't need to. If you don't have an answer, don't raise the question, Steele.
There's an answer. There's no life form, so they don't shoot it.
Oh, it must be harmless then.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, I don't really care that much, but I'm just saying, like, I do feel like the only battle droids to me that make sense are the ones that just have the gun built into their arm. Because you got to wonder, why do you need hands? Like, you're just designed to shoot things. Why do you bother to build fingers? That's a really complicated mechanism.
Well, they rode stack droids as well.
Well, that doesn't make any sense either. But I'm saying, like, there's the big ones who menace the Mando's, like, flashback sequence, right? Mm-hmm. They've got one arm that's just a blaster, which I think at least makes sense. Like, I get that. But I think that, like, or the, what are they? The destroyer droids from Phantom Menace. Those are, like, way more serious. I mean,
they are gnarly.
Yeah, like, that would be a much harder kill for the Mando than the Dark Troopers. Like, why'd they just go to that design? They've got shields and everything.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You just filled me with warm thoughts, bringing up the destroyer droids.
I like the destroyer droids.
Rolling up. That was so exciting. They roll up in a bowl.
Yeah.
Like those little armadillos. Sweet action.
You got to wonder, like, whether somebody was like, you know, this ball rolling mechanism thing is pretty cool, but it's expensive. What if instead of, like, attaching limbs that have to shrink into the ball, we just popped a head on top with a magnet? And just, like, BB-8 this thing, you know? Like, somebody had that idea. You know, it's kind of cool.
Harry knows who BB-8 is now.
Really?
But sometimes he miscalculates the amount of bees he needs to. Sometimes it's BB-BB-BB-8.
Yeah.
But, he knows it.
I love how kids repeat stuff when they're saying what they think are proper names. Because I think they think that repeating it, like, adds emphasis or something. Like, when my son was probably about Harry's age at this point, his favorite superhero was the Mighty Thor. And he liked him because he had a hammer that he could swing around. And that was the cool thing about the Mighty Thor. And so he would say, like, he had this little, like, toy, like, you know, tool bench, you know, kids tool set plastic hammer that he made us tape like a like a lanyard to or something, so he could swing it around, because I'm an idiot. He would just be like swinging it around, be like, I'm super hero Mighty Thor hero. I thought it was the cutest thing. Superhero Mighty Thor hero. And he was a superhero Mighty Thor hero for Halloween that year, and it was delightful.
And do you have to say it that way exactly?
No, superhero, Mighty Thor, hero. Mighty Thor gets, like, kind of truncated in the way he said it.
Okay. Yeah, because Harry does things like that. He's fascinated with work sites and diggers and cranes.
Right.
And he always, if he sees one, he'll go, construction work site. Like, he'll go, construction work site. He'll never say work site, or it's one word, construction work site. Construction work site?
Yeah.
But Luke Skywalker, back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I approve. It's cool.
You were going to say something before about people's weird reaction to it or something.
Well, okay, so there are people out there who have this idea in their head that Luke Skywalker somehow became a pacifist in between killing like three speeder bike troopers on their way back home and meeting his dad, you know, which is for the second time, which is not true. Like there's nothing in those movies that says I'm not going to kill, even if I am threatened with my own death. Like he's more than happy to do that. But in addition to that, people have this idea where, oh, Luke wouldn't do that stuff, like killing robots with his powers, which again, like makes me wonder whether people understand what robots are. I mean, they made it super clear what with the robot movements and such, you know?
Yeah. Well, but the whole thing is like, that's why they're rope. Like this is, it's all, they're robots. It's,
he could have, like, as far as I'm concerned, like he could have done that to real people and it would have been fine because they were going to kill him. Like, they're killers. Like he, that's what he does. Like it's not like he got rid of his lightsaber. He picked it back up on his way out the door. You know what I'm saying? Like he threw it down. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to give in to hatred, but then he like, you know, on his way out, it's like, okay, all right, dad, we got to go. Let me go over, get that, clip it back on my belt. All right. Going to see the Ewoks.
Yeah.
Like it serves a purpose and the purpose is homicide.
On the way to the elevator, he just stabbed a few royal guards.
Yeah, like, why not? Like, no, I mean, look, it's this is a thing that I did on my defunct Star Wars podcast that I'm not going to continue anymore.
No defunct pods.
Yeah, no, they're plenty. It's good. Sometimes you just got to shoot that thing in the head and feed it to the dog. You know what I'm saying? It's just done. But
oh, what an analogy.
Yeah. Well, that's how I handle everything I'm done with.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm Skyping you from jail, by the way. no, I mean, like, he's like, I did this whole thing where I was like, is Luke Skywalker a pacifist? And the answer is absolutely not. Like, a pacifist is somebody who does not resort to violence under any circumstances. So it is anathema to a pacifist to use aggression or violence in any, like, that's a pacifist would say, like, oh, the Nazis are marching into town, all right, it's fine, just like, you know, live and let live. They're not going to do anything because they're pacifists.
He's like Miyagi. He's like, hey man, let's think this through. When push comes to shove, metaphorically or literally, it's on.
Right. Yeah. Like, I feel like if they were real people, like if they were regular stormtroopers on the ship, he wouldn't have behaved exactly the same way. But like if they're attacking him, he's going to fight back. Like, he's not just going to be like, all right, whatever, do what you got to do. Like, he won't do that. Like, he's there to rescue people. And he shows up knowing that, like, he has no idea what's on the ship or what's left there. Then he gets there. And yeah, like, people have this idea that this is, oh, that's not the way Luke was portrayed in The Last Jedi, which takes place like approximately 15 years later. And yeah, you're right. It's not exactly the same thing, but he's also not being like, especially.
Yeah. But then there's people that are like, oh, this goes against, like, people make up whatever they want to place their like value in. It's like, then they just, it means this now. It now rewrites The Last Jedi, or it's, you know.
Yeah. That's stupid talk from stupid people. Like, I, this is one of the reasons why I wish that The Last Jedi kept the third test, right? The thing where Luke is testing Rey and he teaches her the third lesson, and he lies to her and tells her that this like boat that's approaching the caretaker's village are pirates and they're coming to like loot and pillage and kill. And Rey like runs off to like defend them. And then, you know, and but before she does, he says like, well, that's what the Jedi would tell you to do, is nothing. Don't do a thing. because you're going to upset the balance. Like, they're going to come back in a month. Will you still be here in a month? And that was like his, he was, what he was doing in that scene is like saying, like, that's not like, there's a limit to what, where your dogma can take you. Like, if you lionize the Jedi, like there's a certain point where their teachings would not match up with what you understand to be good and right. And his point was that, like, the right thing to do in that situation is, yes, of course you defend people who are defenseless. That's what you do. And you defend them with lethal force if necessary. That's not a problem. Like, it's just not, it's not a problem for him.
With the lesson, did it end up being that it was just like people going to mate with them, or they were going to party? What?
To party, yeah. They were coming over. They were coming over probably to party. The subtext was, yeah, to also mate. It's like that one Star Trek where Spock has to go back to his planet because they have sex once every 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. As a comic book guy would say later, for some of you, that is much less than you are used to, but for me, it is so much more.
Good impression. Very impressive.
Yeah, I know.
So tell me what the I don't understand why, like, he lied in the I don't understand. Like, he let her go and kill, or she didn't, but to maybe kill these guys that were just looking to, you know, have a little dance.
Yeah, I don't think he knew that she wasn't going to kill them unless provoked, right? And they weren't going to provoke her because they were just there to have some fun, baby. Just have a good time. You know, so he knew that if she got, but like in the deleted scene, he's laughing. He's like, I didn't expect you to get there so quickly. I thought I was going to be able to stop you. Like, she bolted before he thought she was going to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is like, he was going to stop her and be like, wait. He's like, no, because he's calling to her as she goes. He's like, no, wait, come back. No, I'm just kidding. But she's already like so far along the path that he had to run to catch up with her.
It's just so weird because, you know, there's this, you know, legitimate lesson, whether you want to believe it or not, but they're attacking, but are you going to be here next month? So don't do anything. But then when it's like, it's not even that, like, it's like,
no, well,
is the lesson, don't believe old men, they're just making stuff, they're just having a party and this old man's making stuff up? Like, what's the real lesson?
I mean, honestly, that lesson would have served her pretty well in the future too. So, but, you know, no, I think the point was, is like, he was trying to get her fight or flight, you know, type like reaction up. Cause if he tells her that, because at that point she doesn't know what to believe about Luke Skywalker, right? His whole point is to try and like destroy her delusions about him because he hates himself. And he's like, no, you're going to hate me too by the time we're done. And that's how I know you're going to leave me alone. I'm going to make you like despise me. You're going to be disgusted by Luke Skywalker. You're never going to come back here. And like his whole point there is like, oh yeah, your sense of justice, your sense of right or wrong tells you, you have to go help them no matter what. The Jedi's sense of justice and right or wrong says, stop, don't do it unless you can create balance. And he wants to create that. You can't, that's a lesson that I don't think you can teach without getting somebody's hackles up. You know what I mean? You've got to get her like, you know, her blood boiling. Like, no, I've got to stop that. Like, he knows that about her. He's trying to get that out of her. And he's like, so yeah, he lies. And his point is like, how old is that iPod?
Oh, it's old. It's ornamental.
That's amazing. That I was going to, it still works.
I don't know. I've got to charge it up, but it's for those on the YouTube, it is like the old plug.
Oh, wow.
And it's got the dial.
Yeah.
And this was a color screen. So this was,
it's the iPod photo. Is that the iPod photo or is the one right after that?
I think this is the photo.
I got one of those right before I moved to New York, and I
must have beat the hell out of it because it stopped working after about 2 years.
Oh my God. When I just ran my thumb around the circle and all the, like, the keystrokes just came back to, like, I remember, like, going through to find, because you used to have to, like, download a podcast onto iTunes and then wait for it to sync via cord to this. And I remember, like, not wanting to leave the house and then watching it, one podcast would maybe take 7 minutes and it's like, come on. Because, like, the thought of, like, leaving my house without the new podcast was, like, intolerable.
Yeah, no, you can't do it, yeah. Oh, how far we've come is a... Well, actually, things are much worse. But anyway, I think that's... Anyway, that's, I think, was the point of him lying to her at that point, is that he was trying to get her... Because the next thing he says when he catches up with her is that impulse to fight, like that impulse to defend and act... That's what the resistance needs right now. They don't need some ancient husk of a religion. They need people like you. You don't need me. They need you. They don't need me. That's his whole point. So, but she's actually, like, way more spry and quick than he anticipated, and she's, like, out the door at a drop of a hat, and he has to catch up to her.
I gotta rewatch that. You just went, like, real loud and then normal. Like, I don't know if you did something to the microphone there.
I did nothing.
Okay, well, very fascinating. Yeah. Now we're talking about Luke in the Mando. Mm-hmm. I tweeted after I watched it, and you know, like, it's not a competition, but few people were exhilarated. Like, I feel like I'm in the 1% of the millions of people that watched it, in the 1% top exhilaration from watching that. So I had a great time. And I did tweet that Favreau was God after viewing the episode.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, and it's like a gushing fanboy, I had the best time. But I also don't think, I feel like, well, that's your trump card that you could pull out, and, you know, that's gonna just be amazing whenever you do that. And they used it then, but I don't think it was like that amazing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was so grateful, but I don't think they're, like, master storytellers for having Luke Skywalker come and chop everyone up.
I mean, all of season two is proof that they are not master storytellers. Look, aside from my Rick of choice, this second to last episode of the season, which is bar none one of the best things in Star Wars I've ever seen or experienced at all. Like, it is beyond perfect. Like,
well, you know my journey with that.
Yeah, I do. Episode. I was there for it.
And I, now, like, on the second watch, I was like, oh, this is amazing. I actually can now really enjoy watching it.
I feel very strongly about that one. And I will say, like, a lot of the things
do you know one of the reasons why I was, like, so down on it?
No, why? Yeah.
Because it was, like, hinting at all this Cara Dune spin-off shows. So that was, like, annoying. I think it was, like... I think it was it after the, did that one screen after the big, yeah, it must have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember just, like, going, oh no, it's going to be bloody Bill Burr and her, and no, but now it's just going to be Bill Burr and by himself. So but
it's just him.
But, yeah, then re-watching it with sort of, you know, my expectations, like, sort of knowing what was going to – it's masterful. It is
really good.
Very good.
I am super excited to see – like, I know that Rick Famuyiwa is doing a non-Star Wars thing for Lucasfilm, Children of Blood and Bone, I think. And I just got the book of that, so I want to make sure I've read it before I see it, because I have a feeling it's going to be totally great. And so far, the book is pretty damn good. Like, it's not the kind of thing I would typically pick up, but I'm glad I did, because I actually just got the sequel too. Because I had a feeling like I've got to follow up on this.
I haven't really followed that. I didn't realize he was doing that. Is it that's going to be a feature film? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's awesome. It's kind of like so far what I've gotten from it is it's sort of like a kung fu movie, but it takes place in a like fictional African history, I think. And it's like, I haven't been able to place it quite in time. I'm pretty sure it's taking place in like a fantasy timeline, but it's got this, it's like a slight Game of Thrones vibe to it, but not really. It's more of like a fantasy but there's definitely like, it feels like a kung fu movie. Cause it's like this like monastery, or rather in this case, like a convent, like, environment where people are training in like a outlawed and forbidden discipline of super cool magic kung fu type stuff. It's awesome. Yeah, it sounds so cool.
One to knock back any super cool magic stuff.
No, I'm a big fan of those things. I figured you would be too, but yeah, I gotta finish that one. I've got a lot of books going right now, as I usually do. I read about, I would say maybe, I don't know how many books a year, but they're all read at once. It's crazy. No, I'll read like, you know, I'll get like 100 pages into something, and then I'll have to switch to something else.
I feel like for the podcast listeners, I need to visualize the face I'm pulling right now, which is disgust and disbelief.
That what?
Just read one book at a time.
I can't. I'm too, like, the ADD is too strong. I'm a man of many interests, and they fluctuate and
at once.
Yes. Yeah. True. It's why I can never really accomplish anything. I get absorbed into something, and then suddenly I'm like, time to take a break. I'm going to do this other thing. And if I'm lucky, I'll switch back to something else I started a while ago, and eventually I'll finish it.
So do you mean in life you're like that, or just with books?
Probably more things than I am not, I would say.
Yeah,
but okay. books especially, yeah. Star Wars books I'll go right through.
You read books like I open web page tabs.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Sounds like it. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Like, there are certain books that the tab has been open for months, if not years, and I'm okay with it, because I don't talk to a lot of people who would be interested in what I learned from the books anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It's not like I can use the stuff in the books, but I'm reading some good ones lately. Yeah.
Hey, knowing no one else is interested is half the battle, Robo.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, the real test of strength here is not like giving some, hey, you should borrow this from me, you might really like it. It's that's a stupid idea. Nobody ever likes it.
Oh man, my dad, big book reader.
Yeah.
And he is adamant every time I go that I take all these books with me.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like he'll give me a duffel bag of books, and I'm like, dude, I have no interest in any of this stuff. Number one, I'm flying back to America with limited bag space.
Oh yeah.
And then he's like, just post them. And I'm like, well, I could just buy the books for cheaper.
Yeah, that's true.
Additionally, no chance I'm going to read them.
Not going to read them. Yeah. Yeah. I once had a mover scold me, because of the amount of books that I had in boxes. Like, I had all these boxes packed. I'm like, yep, everything's all packed. You just take it down. It's like, are all these books? Yeah. Why didn't you tell us that you had so many books? I'm like, why would I tell you? You're the movers. Like, you lift stuff, you pick it up here, and you put it down over there. Like, what? And then I apologize. I'm like, you're right. I should have told you, because I'm an idiot sucker. it made me feel bad. I'm like, fine, I'll get you McDonald's or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do that anyway. Every time I move, I always get the movers McDonald's, but
McRibs.
If they ask for it and they're in season, yeah. Dude. But I'm not going to like move heaven and earth to get a McRib when they're out of season, you know?
You're not even going to move book.
I can't hunt those centipedes off season.
What else? You said you had lots of Star Wars things to talk about.
I did not say that. I said there's a lot of stuff that's happened.
Did you read any of the new Star Wars books?
I read The Light of the Jedi.
How did you go?
It's kind of pretty not so good. Not a big fan. I went in on King Tom's recommendation.
First of all, place a flag. What's the best Star Wars book?
I mean, the best Star Wars book is probably, I'm going to say right now, I would say it is
Shadows of the Empire. Sorry, what'd you say?
Not say that. You won't be hearing that out of this skull. I would say my favorite one is, right now I would say it's Han Solo and the Lost Legacy. Classic Brian Daley joint.
Oh, God. What a true fan.
No, it's not that. It's just like, that's back when they couldn't do anything that touched or could potentially touch the movies. They had to come up with new stuff that wasn't tied into anything. And I much prefer that to stuff that ties into everything. So, but I mean, those are also just like Brian Daley was like a genius who died way too young and still could have contributed a lot. He's the guy who wrote the radio dramas, by the way.
Yeah. I remember reading them in the 90s, I think, and just like going, no, I want to know what happens after Star Wars. This is,
yeah, he wasn't allowed to do that.
I'm aware of I know why they're there and why they're where they are, but it felt a little empty with just Han and Chewie, and when they were in some far off, what were they up against the guild?
Well, in the first two, they're in the corporate sector.
The corporate sector. That's what I was thinking.
Because they weren't allowed to use the Empire, but I actually think the corporate sector was an interesting foil because it's like it's strangely telling. It's like a part of space that the they even go back to like the Republic era. They say it like it was chartered during the old Republic, but once the Empire took over, they were like, they just stopped paying attention to what they did. They didn't care, just make money. And it is pretty cool. But also, and then in the third one that I just mentioned, it's in a different part of space called the Tyon Hegemony, which both of the corporate sector is where Canto Bight is now located, by the way.
Oh, it's hot.
Yeah. And the Tyon Hegemony, I know it's still canon, but I don't know if it's been directly referenced in anything. It doesn't really matter because the books are good regardless of whether they're canon. I would also say that it's now been completely supplanted by Solo, A Star Wars Story, but famed journeywoman sci-fi author A.C. Crispin's first Han Solo book. I can't remember what it's called. It's Solo.
At Star's End?
No, that's Brian Daley. It's The Paradise Snare. It sounds very Star Trek, right? And she wrote a bunch of Star Trek novels about the same time. But it's actually a pretty damn good like origin story for Han Solo, and it plays a little bit into what we do get in the Solo movie, but not a lot. But it's good. I like that one a lot. Her other two, not a big fan of, but I like that one. But like I have no like there's no perfect Star Wars book. My most recent favorite, I would say, like of new canon, I really like everything I've read from Claudia Gray. I haven't read all of her books, but I like the ones I've read. I liked Bloodline. I liked Lost Stars. And I think my all-time favorite was Delilah S. Dawson's Phasma.
Oh, really?
It's absolutely crazy good, in my opinion.
What about, I like the Tarkin one, except when his ship got stolen. That was so boring. But the stuff about Tarkin and his flashbacks were fascinating.
I didn't read that one. Is that James Luceno? Luceno?
I believe so. The Lost Stars one was exceptional. I reckon maybe the perfect Star Wars book. Because, you know, especially if you're a Robbo type, mm-hmm. you want it to feed into the movie and have some sort of integration. I reckon it's that Catalyst, that Rogue One.
I need to read that, yeah.
Oh, you've never read it?
No, I need to. There's a lot of them I've missed, but I've got that one on my list. I've heard a lot of good things. I do want to check it out.
Hey, buddy, treat yourself.
I will, yeah.
Get onto it and then save a Rogue One screening for afterwards, because it definitely it adds a lot to all their relationships and stuff.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
But I remember I listened to that one. I listened to it on the drive back and forth to Adelaide 1 year, which I podcasted some of that as well. I remember, like, shall I podcast for the next hour or listen to an audiobook? That's the sort of things I had in my mind on a 9-hour drive.
Hmm.
Have you ever driven across America much?
I have not driven across the entire country. I think the longest I've ever driven a car is like 14 hours.
I don't even mean it once, but that's one of our big plans before we get off this crazy rock.
What
do you mean?
Oh, no, I thought you were going to say something else. I was like, are you leaving the United States already in our moment of triumph?
yeah, I don't know.
That's the joke. Thank you.
Yeah. I tell you what's tempting is in Australia, they like interact with each other without getting sick.
I've heard of that. That's crazy. How do you do it? Are there rules you follow or something? Because
it must be.
Yeah, we don't do that. Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Don't get me. Yeah, I'm super sad about everything. Don't ask me questions about
it. But anyway, Catalyst. Very good. And they really did a bang up job with a real juicy preamble to the film.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be boring, but when I hear people talk about it, it definitely sounds good.
Hey, Krennic's never boring, buddy.
Yeah. There's one of the Thrawn novels where he doesn't really do anything, but he's in it.
How's anyone going to shine next to Thrawn?
Usually, I'd say of the new ones. Anyway, that's a totally different discussion. But the only I do want to say, since we're talking about Rogue One novelization adjacent things, the K2SO's death chapter of the Rogue One novelization is, if that were a short story, would be one of my favorite things Star Wars has ever done. Alexander Freed wrote it. He wrote the whole book. The book is pretty good. That chapter is stellar. It's very, very good.
I tell you one thing I'm looking forward to is I'm trying to concentrate. This is such a just an odd thing. Late at night when Jackie goes, because quite often Jackie's like super tired, so she goes to bed way earlier than me. And my hobby is staying up. And I used to just like work on my computer, try to do things and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of was like, I'll take some, just watch something. Right. So I watched Ant-Man and the Wasp because I hadn't seen it before. And loved it, by the way. Yeah. The Ant-Man. All about him, Paul Rudd. Love the Ant-Man. But the thing I was thinking about, because I've started watching Avengers Endgame, but that's going to be a multi-part adventure.
Right.
Having fun watching that. Except that whole, when they make Ant-Man into a baby, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You didn't like that, huh?
Oh, it's a sketch from like my favorite sketch show when I was in high school. Like that sketch verbatim with like, we've got a time machine. Hmm. Oh, too old, too young. Just like it's.
Like it is slightly low-hanging fruit, but I did...
I just thought it was sort of like I know comics are different than Star Wars, but it just felt like it broke the movie. It was like this, it was like a comedy sketch about the Avengers in the Avengers. But anyway, mm-hmm. So I'm enjoying that. I'm gearing up. I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I have not seen Solo for years.
Oh, yeah.
And I've only seen it like under 10 times. So in Star Wars, when I've got a solid amount, I'm just going to watch it in one go.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think you'll find it pretty good. Hey, I hear my cat complaining about something. Can I just check out for just a second?
Okay. Is it a Star Wars related complaint?
No, it's a food and pay attention to me related complaint.
Oh.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Hey.
My cat does this thing where I keep like her dry food on top of the refrigerator, like on a little cabinet, like above the refrigerator. And when I haven't fed her at the right time, she like jumps on top of the refrigerator and just howls. Looking at the cabinet where the dry food is.
I think that's a pretty subtle hint.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about cats, right? Like, you really have to think really hard about what they actually want. And and then she, yeah, I put it about 30 minutes from now, she's going to go over to the kitchen sink, sit down next to the faucet that's not running, and howl because she wants me to turn on the water so she can drink, because she can't just drink water out of a bowl. It has to be running water because she's a princess.
Oh, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Our Jerry now has somehow got this tradition that when we all sit at the dinner table for dinner, he demands a tall glass of water and sits at the end of the table and sips his water while he watches us eat.
That's kind of cute. I like that.
And if the water's not there, both Jerry and Harry just lose their minds.
Yeah.
Because Harry wants, Jerry, water! Water, Jerry, water! Anyway. What other things are happening? What are all these other things? Have you got these? Because I said, this was my idea. I said, hey, I'll read out all the podcast topics I've done since you were on last. You can give me your thoughts. And you're like, oh, no, there's heaps going on.
Well, there's stuff happening, right?
Happened. What other stuff's happening? Otherwise, I'm going to go to my list. Don't make me go to the list.
There's that. The Star Wars Hunters. That's a thing.
Yeah, what is that? Just like Duke Nukem, like Battle Dome?
I have no idea. All I know is it's free to play and is just basically designed to separate you from your sweet, sweet cash. So
yeah, I smelled a rat. I was on the live stream and I was like, what's free to play? Oh, where's this business model is going to hurt somewhere.
I mean, again, like on the one hand, like I applaud them for just doing some crappy thing that like, you know, not like making it like, oh, this is going to contribute to the Star Wars lore, because it's like, no, we're going to like, it's going to be like, you know, a stormtrooper fights a sand person fights a Gamorrean.
They tried to make it as though it's in the, like, they're like after Return of the Jedi. And it's like, why give yourself these handcuffs that you're going to have to weasel out of anyway.
Stupid.
Just let him rumble.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, I don't understand why video games pretend like, oh, we can be canon too. Like, no, you're a game. Like, you let the player do what they want. It cannot possibly be canon.
Well, I think it's like give or take. Like not give or take. It's case by case. Do you know what I mean? Like, with the, you know, what was the one that just came out? Not the pilot one, but the one with Kyle Kestis or whatever.
Oh, before that was Jedi Fallen Order. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, like you know, you've got your story, make it canon.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, there's nothing in that. I love that game, but it doesn't need to be a part of the overarching story.
Like, the Battlefront, the movie, like, I watched the, you know, like, all stuff happens, but I watched, like, the hour Battlefront movie where Luke Skywalker's there, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's canon. Good stuff. Have fun. But when you're, like, getting all these characters together just to have a rumble. But, hey, I tell you what my favorite Star Wars video game is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called or what this style of game is. I don't know if it was called Battlegrounds or something, but I got it for the Mac. It was somehow available for the Mac. Got the little disc.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things, maybe like The Sims, but war. So,
oh, yeah.
You were like the Trade Federation, and you'd build little power plants and you'd buy droids. And then over the mountain on the map was Gungans or another force. And then you'd have to build, but then you'd send people over to attack and then they'd come back to attack. And it was very sort of battleshipy.
Sounds like Star Wars Rebellion, maybe?
Yeah, it wasn't called. Wait there. I'll look up what it was actually called. Star Wars Battlegrounds? But what's that style of game called?
Well, it sounds like an RTS. It sounds like real-time strategy, where it's like the turns, you don't take turns. Everything's happening in real time, but you're constantly like selecting units, telling them where to go, telling them what to build, right?
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Bang. I found a video. This is going to be sick. All right. We can do some screen sharing here. My favorite. Bang. Chrome tab, Galactic Battlegrounds.
Ah. Yeah, yeah.
So you build like your little forts here and I'll make it bigger.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Look, they're building. There's a little man. Mm-hmm. It was sick fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like the Star Wars version of like World of Warcraft or Command and Conquer or something.
Ah, okay. Yeah. The thing is, I don't know. Are these games very popular or not?
Nowadays, they kind of don't exist anymore. The genre sort of died off, but it was like in the 90s, especially the late 90s. It was like a big deal. Like and for a while there was a game called StarCraft, which is like one of the esports, like sort of metatextual games where it was a part of the early esports scene. I think I never played it, but it was an RTS.
Okay. Well, this is from 2001.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What?
I think Rebellion was more of a spaceship, like, Conquer the Galaxy type thing. That was a different one. I do like, yeah. I don't think I played this one very much, but it looks like a pretty decent RTS.
Because I would love to play online with, you know, my friends and foes and build a little village and then try to kill someone else.
It might still be possible. I'm not sure. I know that a lot of classic games from this time period are coming out for the Switch in the future. They just announced like they're going to put out, I think, what is it? Clone Commando or something like that. And Star Wars Bounty Hunter and some of like the Attack of the Clones era games are going to be coming out, I think. And the classic Star Wars Battlefront 2, I think has been, you can still play that online. The old one.
Well, there you go. Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds from 2001.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I miss those days because I feel like they're a lot less creative now than they used to be because it's so expensive to make these games. It's hard to take risks unless you're making something really, really, really cheap. So.
Oh, and the amount of money that they can bring in.
Was it Galaxy of Heroes or something? That was like a pseudo RTS.
Is that the one that was like $1 billion?
Oh, what was it? It was the one where you, like they, I remember as being around the Force Awakens time, and it was a game that brought mini rigs into canon. I think.
No way. What?
It had like, well, into pseudo canon, right? It's a video game, but like some of the units you could purchase and deploy were like the just straight up Hasbro mini rigs. It was a while ago,
mate. Come on, Kenner mini rigs.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
Come on, respect.
Yeah, I that was mine to lose.
Robbo, what was the last piece of Star Wars merchandise you purchased?
It's actually been a while. Oh, I know. It was a Moff Gideon vintage collection thing that my son wanted.
Like really a 3 3/4.
Yeah. Nice. He doesn't do the Black Series because he's all these, you know, because there's not a lot of vehicles that go with those. So for Christmas, he got the troop transport.
Nice.
Yeah. It doesn't have any sound effects, but looks way better. Like the paint job is way better than the original. And yeah, that's like the only real Star Wars vehicle that was out at that time. So it used to be like he could get like all kinds of cool stuff for Christmas because they put out a lot of toys, but now they don't really do that anymore. And yeah, so the troop transport, he got that. And yeah, I think I got, it was Moff Gideon and then the Empire Strikes Back Boba Fett vintage series that was re-released, which looks pretty good. And my son's really into that now that he's seen Boba Fett come back and do stuff. So we've got a Goffy stick in his hand and everything now.
What did your son think about Luke Skywalker?
Oh, he loved it. He knew as soon as he saw when there's like, oh no, it's an X-Wing and it's just like just one. And they point that out as just one. And he knew immediately, like he was like, oh,
Filoni.
You know who that is, but he was just like, oh, I know. He's like, I know. And he was like about ready to tell his mom. I'm like, don't tell mom. Don't spoil it. My wife who's, you know, she's seen the Star Wars movie. She watches the Mandalorian episodes as soon as they come out, but she never sees them again. And so she didn't really put it together that it was Luke Skywalker until literally the moment where you see his Uncanny Valley face show up. Mm. Then she got it. She's like, it's him.
What about, are you watching WandaVision?
Yeah, we are actually.
Who do you think this engineering pal's going to be? WandaVision spoilers, I guess. Speculation. It's not really.
I'm remind me who says engineering pal's coming.
So what's her name? Rambo.
Yeah.
She
right.
keeps saying how she has to go meet up with this engineering guy, or is it engineering?
I thought she just needed to get a costume or something.
She's meeting up with some like physicist or some, but people were like, you know, throwing out who it's going to be.
I'm not like, you'd have to ask your King's Tom of the world. I don't really know a lot about Marvel lore. I was impressed when they brought, what can we spoil this?
Yes.
Okay.
If
you really care about WandaVision, like, don't listen to this part. It's not like a huge spoiler, but it was pretty weird.
But, I don't know. We're recording. Like, this isn't. I think we're up to episode 6.
Yeah, this is not episode 6 spoiler. It's an episode 5 spoiler. But yeah, where they bring back the other Quicksilver from the Fox X-Men movies, like. My son latched onto that immediately. He got that right away. And I thought that was pretty cool because I didn't understand it. And then he goes back and he says, like, well, when you think about it, they talk about how there's a lot of this cosmic background radiation that was released at the Big Bang. So it's the creation of the universe. So maybe there's like other universes that get pulled into this. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good point. And it took me a long time to come up with something else smart to say that would contribute to that. But I did. Cosmic background radiation is what causes over-the-air antennas, TVs, to have static when they're between channels.
Oh.
That's what you're seeing. That's what creates the static. So it feeds into the whole TV thing. But yeah, like, I didn't even think about that. But he's like, yeah, in like the first episode or the third episode, they talk about that, the CBR, the cosmic background radiation. And yeah, I was like, oh, that's really cool. That makes sense. Okay, so you can bring in a different version of an existing character, which I thought was crazy cool.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like,
yeah.
What are you doing? What are you up to? What's
yeah, and I don't really, I don't need a particular answer. I just want to know because it's an interesting idea.
He's so, when they did like the Malcolm in the Middle episode,
yeah,
he was so good at that, like the crazy uncle character.
He's really, really, the show is shockingly good. I'm not like a Marvel super fan, but I like this a lot better than most of Mando season 2 because it's ooh, more imaginative. Like Mando season 2 is like, let's connect this to everything you already have seen before. And it's kind of dull to me until, like, you know, there's some highlights, right? But it's, for the most part, it just seems like, yeah, this is pretty good TV, but the first season was way better. And WandaVision, I feel like, is just like, I don't think you could do something exactly like that in Star Wars, at least not right now, because it's very like 20th century Earth kind of references, right? Like, you don't want to see that in Star Wars.
Yeah, well, but, and it's also, you know, how you do it, how you present it is one thing, but it's like, it's more the concept of doing something so abstract.
Yeah,
it would rather than like a TV show,
right? And doing a thing that is so willing to potentially willing to, like, you know, screw with the audience's expectations of like which characters are good and bad and things like that. Which I mean, it's there's a Last Jedi-esque quality to it that I really liked.
See, just then you got really loud and close to the microphone.
I didn't move my head that much. Yeah, I think, wow, it's just a thing that happened. Yeah, I heard that. I noticed that was happening in one of the live streams I did with you maybe a month or so ago, a couple months ago. I don't know what that is. The StreamYard thing, I think.
Because when you bring up that you like, you know, you find it more imaginative than The Mandalorian, I
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Had more fun watching The Mandalorian season 2. But I do think season 1's more of an achievement because it's so much more like a standalone story. And then season 2, it's just, you know, like every 2 episodes, it's like something coming back, which, it's, you know, like I was there enjoying it, but yeah, it's definitely not the, you know, the achievement of, you created this whole little pocket in the universe and you created these characters and, like, you know, the last 2 episodes were so, of season 1, were so emotionally enriching based on these characters that you met in, like, at the start of the season, not, like, when you were, you know, 4 right, years old.
It's not building on something you already have going in. And
I would say, I would not say built, I'd say borrowing.
Yeah, even so, yeah, because it doesn't, right, it's true. Like, the one exception I would say is, like, I felt like with Bo-Katan.
Ah, sorry, I'll just, because what did you learn, what was added to Luke Skywalker? Nothing, I loved it, but it didn't, like, give me, like, in The Last Jedi, I remember when they showed the flashback and it was like, you know, that Luke had flown off the, you know, with the lightsaber and stuff. I remember like going, oh my God, this is such a shocking, yeah. It recontexted everything. Like I had to like sort of defrag my head. It's like, oh my God, Luke Skywalker did this. This is crazy. But yeah, like I just don't think it added like anything, like, you know, like, as I said, few people enjoy, not that it's competition, but few people like was more than I watching it. I was legitimately like just emotionally battered by the end, but it didn't really like it just, they just sort of press play sort of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it can't be about Luke. It's got to be about Mando and Baby Yoda. It's got to be about those characters. And like, it's the thing that I think turns some people off about the way Luke is presented, especially when he starts talking, is that like, he doesn't say that much and he sounds like very, like, I think people wrongly interpret it as, oh, he's like, he's believing in his own legend at this point. Like he thinks he's as cool as he looks, you know? And that's not it. I think the point of it is that when we see Luke, we're seeing him from the TV show is filmed from the perspective of the people in the Mando's kind of circle, right? When they see Luke show up, they're seeing something they've never seen before. They're seeing something that is kind of, to many of them, like scary, like an unnatural power that shouldn't exist. Hey, something that's even worse than Yoda.
For one of the characters, it's the last thing they'll ever see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when he showed, like he's not,
way to know. So,
I mean, it was okay. But it's like, you're seeing it from their perspective. You know what I mean? You're seeing Luke, like if you could make a short story out of that whole scene that's told from Luke's perspective, that would seem completely different. Like he's showing up and he's just doing a Jedi thing. Like, I don't know, R2. I've got the signal and we're supposed to go here and do this.
No, Jeremy's like, oh, I've got lunch in the morning.
Yeah.
And I've got like a Kyber crystal search at 11. Then I've got dinner, like, or lunch. And then I've got this Jedi thing in the afternoon.
Yeah. I gotta do it.
I don't know how long it's going to take, but let's go.
And it's interesting because he shows up and he's got his weapon is still drawn when the door opens. I think mostly because that's the image that's like a more affecting image, right? But it's also like once he gets a sense of who's in the room, he turns it off, right? He's like, okay, this is cool. Like nothing more to do here. Like
I think he had it on for good branding, just quietly.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I mean, like that's the impression I got. It's like he doesn't really know what to say. He's not super comfortable being the one Jedi left in the galaxy, but this is a thing that only he can do. So he's going to do it. But he's kind of like, well, I'm not really sure. Again, like my interpretation of Luke in between Return of the Jedi and, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi is that he spends a lot of his time at first doing as little as possible, like coming up with reasons why, oh, I'm not ready to start doing this yet because I've got to do this. It's like, oh, well, I've got to train my sister first. Oh, well, I've got to find these Jedi artifacts first. Oh, I've got to do this first. Then I'll get around to like, you know, passing on what I've learned, et cetera. But like, cause he doesn't believe
that was me trying to clean my desk.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean? Like there's something he knows he's got to do, but he doesn't feel like he's ready for it. And so he keeps coming up with these things to do in between until finally, like he's got a nephew to train. He's like, all right, fine. I'll do the thing I'm supposed to do. I can't wait any longer. And then when he screws that up, it's like, it just like all falls apart. Cause he's like, I knew it. I knew I sucked. I knew I was a failure. And he just goes into a shame spiral. You know what I mean? Like it's, but he doesn't believe, he thinks he's the kid from Tatooine. Like he thinks he's the farm boy. What do they call him? Wormy, right? Like he's nobody, nobody from nowhere. Like he doesn't believe in the legend of Luke Skywalker ever. And all he hears in his voice is the people who raised him. He hears Uncle Owen in his head. Like, you know, you can waste time with your friends later, et cetera. Like he would never believe in that stuff. Like, but what you see is not what he sees. What you're seeing is what he looks like to everybody else, which is totally cool. Right. Like it's from a different perspective. If you saw it from Luke's perspective, it would be like a much different thing, I think. Somebody should write that story. We need a certain point of view. That's a story that actually deserves to exist. How that played out from his perspective. Like he's probably relieved. He gets on the ship. He's like, oh, there's okay. No stormtroopers. All right. I can just go nuts. Let's do it.
I do want the shot of like Grogu in the X-Wing with Luke on his lap, riding shotgun.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I just want to see him like he's reaching for one of the other knobs and trying to unscrew it. It just doesn't come off. It's like, what is this? What are you doing? What am I doing? This is a mistake. I like Luke showing up. I really like that. I feel like that's the best possible thing they could have done. With I really hope that season 3, episode 1, Mando just kills Bo-Katan. They throw down and she's just dead.
Why is that?
Because she obviously wants to fight him. Like he is like Luke Skywalker in that he's not just going to fight for no reason. Like that's stupid, but she wants to. She's like, no, all I want is power. I'm not that good of a person, as has been telegraphed by everything I've said and done in this show. Like she's a bad person who's going to do something bad. I just know it. And it would be great to just see her get jobbed out like season 3, episode 1. And now he's like, now you're the ruler of Mandalore. He's like, I don't want to do that. And he's just like, the whole thing could be just like, everybody's after him for something he doesn't want. It'd be really cool.
It is very fascinating where they'll start it back up again. Like is it going to be Grogu-less?
I'm sure he'll come back at some point, but...
Well, I reckon he's coming back for the thing at the end with Luke Skywalker. Like, I feel like Luke Skywalker is coming back for one last... Let's cut a lot of things up. They've always had this idea of a Jedi in an X-Wing with the lightsaber dragging it on a ship.
Have they?
Yeah, it's been in concept art. Like, Rey was going to do it in a film.
They shouldn't do that. That's stupid.
It's
really stupid.
It's a good idea.
It moves too fast. You couldn't do it. No, that's just stupid. Bad. But, don't listen to Steel.
I do think he will come back because if they have this big thing at the end, like everyone's, where's Luke? Where's Luke?
Well, they've got to set up something big at the end. I think what this is all leading into is like a Heir to the Empire redux for TV. That's what I think they're doing. Like, that's the whole point to, you're going to like, if you're going to bring back Thrawn, like the only reason to do it is to have like a competent Imperial bad guy who can actually create a serious threat for the good guys that would require everybody to team up and stop in like a movie like situation, not like a strict retread of the original novel, but that kind of thing. And like, they don't have anybody better to do it. You know,
teaming up. Love the team up. What about Talon Karad? So you're going to get a mention? Old Talon?
I mean, I think there's room for him. Like, I feel like you're going to get something like that because there was a similar character in the X-Wing novels who could also show up because they're doing a Rogue Squadron movie now. So I wonder whether they're going to like smash those two characters together. But
yeah, I don't know. I liked,
you know, the most interesting guy from the original Zahn, like five novel series from the 90s. The guy who interested me the most was, I'm blanking on his name. He's not like a major character, but he's this guy who was like Talon Card's mentor. And he was like a real piece of garbage. But you find out later that the reason why is because he was like kidnapped and corrupted by an evil Jedi.
Really?
And like, you know, it was not necessarily trained, but exposed to this dark side stuff. And he, I mean, the kind of the dumb part was like he crash landed on Dagobah and then was met Yoda. But then like the whole thing is like going forward after that is like his life was changed by meeting Yoda for like a couple hours. And it like like he totally, he had this weird power, but he had to use it in some other way, but he wasn't a Jedi, so he's not gonna like fight people with it or anything. And he like goes to this other planet and becomes this weird like recluse. It's not especially it, like a lot of things in that era. That's from the Hand of Thrawn like series of books. I think it's just two of them.
Yeah, they did.
They're really bad. A lot of good ideas, but really, really poor execution, I thought. But there's a lot of good ideas, and I like that character. I wish I could remember his name. Tom will tell us, but.
Before we go, Robbo, what did you think? Did you hear about the new Charles Soule comic book?
Oh, the one that's like the old Dark Horse Boba Fett thing?
And Boba Fett bringing Han Solo to Jabba the Hutt loses, gets Han Solo stolen off him, and he has to capture it again.
Where it's like, oh, everybody wants a piece of Han Solo. Like even Darth Vader, the guy who had Han Solo frozen and could have just taken him.
It's like, much respect to Charles Soule. I think he did a great job with the Old Light of the Jedi. Had a great time.
Did he though?
No, I think I had a great time. I had a great time.
I don't understand the point of that book. I went all the way through it. They're like, oh, we're going to show you what the Jedi were like 250 years for the Phantom Menace. And they were exactly like the Jedi in the Phantom Menace. It's totally pointless.
No, they were different.
How? What was different about them? They had different costume steel. Is that it?
They could fly cool. Had some sweet powers.
They were
a lot more in sync with the Republic and the universe. It was good times.
What's the point of doing it if you're not going to make them like obviously different? Why do it?
Well, I don't know. It clicked for me.
It was an okay book. Like, it's not the worst thing I've read from Star Wars, new canon or old canon, by far. Like, I definitely prefer it to the books I was just describing from the 90s. So, like, it's competently done, but I just don't understand the point. Like, the Republic is basically the same. The Jedi are basically the same. You think that you're going to, they're not going to play by all the dumb rules from the prequels, but they still do, as if there was nothing wrong with those stupid rules in the first place. It's like they don't understand what's the point. Why do it? Do something different. Play your own game.
Well, it's the first book. These things are going to happen.
But it's starting off at the status quo that we already understand.
That's what I wanted. I just wanted to see Jedi-ing about.
Okay, is there anything in that book that couldn't have happened 2 weeks before The Phantom Menace?
Well,
no, right?
The politicians making smart decisions. That was something that couldn't have happened, I don't think, like.
Yes, for everybody took the idiot pill that one morning.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole thing with like something at this, like someone's got something that they need for the next movie, and then in the comic book they lose that thing and then get it back. Like it, that's the EU just worst case scenario.
It's going to be bad. I don't think that I'm not a fan of Charles Soule's works in the comics. I feel like it's a lot of sad, depressed Vader stuff that I hate. And then he also did the one where it's like, oh, it's Kylo Ren back when he was Ben Solo, and he's way too young. Like, it's like, it doesn't make any sense.
See, you're bringing up things now that I, like this Light of the Jedi, the thing that it did, like I was like, I am back in, this is good fun. All those books around Snoke and like, they all they don't match. I got so annoyed with it. Yeah. It's like, why am I, like this comic book? And it's like, well, it majorly conflicts with the movie. Like with his, like, how old is this dude? Is he from a jar? Is he like, what is going on?
They have no idea. They have no clue.
And so I was sort of like, I can't put any interest or passion into this. So like, I am very grateful for Charles Soule with The Light of the Jedi, because I was like, you know, and you know, you've got your wants and needs out of books and whatever, and I've got mine. Mine are far more basic, I do have to admit. Had a good time. Except when that guy broke his leg. Brutal. No boss.
Yeah. I felt like the book was painfully aware of how not different the Jedi were from each other, because every time something was from a Jedi's point of view, all they thought about was Master so-and-so is different from Master such-and-such because they do this. That's all they think about. It's just differentiating each other as if they know.
Good. No, I real need that. Difference. I had to buddy have a JPEG on
what,
my phone.
What if instead of 20 Jedi, you had two? What if
that? Because I want lots. I want to see the lots. No, I've had the two.
It's the inverse proportionality of Jedi coolness. The more Jedi there are, the more like pointless and stupid they seem. What I did like, though, is I like the bad guys, except for the stupid thing where they listen to, like, I don't know what, space punk music or something while they take their space drugs to do their space piracy. That was lame. But I did like the idea of, like, they accidentally, like this, it's like this, basically like a biker gang accidentally stumbles across like an H-bomb type weapon, right? It's like, what if the Hell's Angels invented the hydrogen bomb by accident? That's a cool idea. But then they do nothing with it.
I don't know.
The thing at the beginning, and then at the end, what is supposed to happen is that they're going to open this new space station, and then the bad guys just like nuke it. And it's like, it's on now. And then it's like end book, right? That's the end of the novel. And then you pick up the next story, but they don't. It ends with like the two Jedi who are like, they love each other. But then the one Jedi who's like a rebel who plays by his own rules is like, I'm sorry, I've got to play by the Jedi rules. And that's the end of the damn book. Stupid. God, why even do this? What are we doing? Just have something bad happen at the end. That's all you need to do.
He got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, it's almost
that bad. Yeah, bad dream.
Yeah,
but it's anyway. I enjoyed it. But yeah, the other, like all those other ones intertwining. Like you bring up that the Kylo Ren one, and I was just like who are we like in like. I'm just sort of cut and dry. So when people are going, oh, what does this mean for the... And it's like, who cares? It doesn't match up. Like, it's nothing. It's none of this is worth...
Games apparently matter more than the comic books do to the ongoing story in terms of, like, what actually comes back and shows up. And they don't... They barely come back and show up, those games. The comics do not matter. They matter less than anything else they've done. Like it's the most ancillary of ancillary materials. Don't pay attention to it. It's bad. And yeah.
I wish they were more, but I feel like they are just, they just overstep. Know your role, comic books. And I know what they've, the thing, oh, you want to have the, you know, Han and Luke and Darth Vader because it sells comic books and stuff. And it's like, well, it didn't, like, does it? Like, I guess maybe there's another person, but like all that stuff made me not want to buy them anymore. Like, I was like, this is like, I'd pay not to know this is going on. Here's my subscription fee for you blocking this information from me.
Yeah, because what's happening in your imagination is always going to be better, which is why, going full circle back to Brian Daley and the greatness of those books, that really matters, right? Like, it makes a difference that you don't see all the... I want to see what Han does after he meets Luke. Yeah, you do, but... they already made two movies about that and they're great as they are. Like, you don't, you see much else. It could only disappoint you. What you want to see is like, who was Han before? Like, he had like a change of heart and tried to become a good person.
No, I actually just want to see what happens after Return of the Jedi. Trust me.
Well, now you know, there's that great comic book where they find a tree or something. It's awesome. There's the one with the space settlers of Catan. That's great. What a great book that was.
The I do have to say, the whole thing in that Light of the Jedi with the Nile and the paths.
I love that part, yeah.
And Marcian Rowe and all the public, like, it's not reinventing the wheel, but it's getting a solid wheel.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Put it in Star Wars.
Oh, I love the idea of the crazy lady that the bad guy has trapped in his spaceship, and she has some weird force powers to like sense new routes through hyperspace and do things that shouldn't be possible. And
Star.
She's like kind of under, that's a cool idea. Like that's what I'm all like. That's what made the book for me, is like all that stuff. Is I was like, okay, I can get into that. But every time the Jedi showed up, it's just like, God, when is this over? It's so boring.
I loved it when Marcian Rowe made all the ships run into ships. That was
That was cool, right? And he's like, it's like he's manipulating the bad guys for the whole time. Like, this whole plan is like, I'm gonna do this so I can become the great leader. And it's cool. Like, I'm not like, the character is okay. I also, now that they showed what he really looks like, and he's like just another muscle dude with a Sith helmet, I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah,
could have been cooler than that, but whatever.
I'm,
all right,
I'm not too into the eyeball helmet. I know he's the eye and stuff, but
yeah, it's all right. But the idea of the paths, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was dope. I thought it was pretty good.
I'm have to probably pack it in for the night, if you don't
well,
mind.
Well, I was just about to say, is there anything else we need to cover, Robbo, before
not,
we
not really. There's what was it? Well, there's also the thing that just happened recently, right? Like a couple days ago.
Which one?
Well, there's a certain somebody who heard "So long, sucker!"
Oh, you got me. Very good.
Yeah. I got to admit, sometimes I haven't planned. That one just came to me. Yeah. I think that's good news. I feel sorry for what the internet does to some people's brains. But
I just got to know.
Yeah, there are consequences. Sorry. I woke somebody up. Sorry. My bad. Anyway. Yep.
How can the good people of the internet track you down?
I am just ever so barely still on Twitter. So you can go to the bad website and check me out at GCINX. I don't really do much of anything anymore. But I will still respond to ads and such. So I also have a video game podcast called Hardcore Gaming 101. We're doing, we take game nominations and we talk about them. We rank them. We just, finishing up an edit on one, a very weird fighting game from the 90s called The Outfoxies, which is like, it's kind of like if you took all the James Bond like kind of henchmen from like the 60s and 70s and made them fight each other on like giant like tanker ships and helicopters and aquariums and stuff. It's bonkers. It's crazy cool. So that's going to be coming out soon. And yeah, and sometimes I'm on a Steel Show. Love doing it. So I'll talk to you guys later, and good to see you again, Steel.
Excellent. Let's not delay as much this time or next time or that time. But well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbo. Don't start. Let's just do it sooner next time. And I got to ask you. I realize this.
Yeah. Just ask me. It's fine. But yeah, glad to be back. Good night, everybody.
Bye, Internet.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.